Let us pray. Most gracious, most awesome, most superior Elohim God. God, we first want to say thank you for allowing us to wake up this morning and see a day that we've never seen before. God, we ask that your spirit fall fresh on this place so that whatever I have to say this morning is a word that these your people will need so that when we leave this place, they can run on and see what the end is going to be. Lord, if it is not on my manuscript, Lord, place it on my mouth. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, Lord, let them be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. For God, you are our strength and our redeemer. God, we ask all of these things in your son Jesus' name. Together we pray and say, amen. This morning's unison scripture comes from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles or your iPhone or your Android and go to the Bible app, I will be coming from the book of Isaiah, chapter 3. When you have it, say amen. If you don't, say wait on me. I'll wait. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. I just got one verse. I will actually be reading from the King James Version this time. And it reads just this. Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. I just want to preach and possibly teach with a thought in mind. It gets better. In 2010, the author and provocateur Dan Savage, along with his partner, founded the It Gets Better campaign on the internet. It was in response to the high-profile suicides of youth, teens, and young adults as a direct result of bullying, specifically cyberbullying. By and large, these suicides were a result from the bullies teasing these young people about their sexuality. As a result, Dan Savage made the YouTube clip employing the phrase, "It gets better." And it went viral. Hundreds of thousands of regular everyday citizens, young and old alike, began to make these videos with the simple refrain, "It gets better," to whomever was listening, whoever was watching. Celebrities joined in of all backgrounds, gay, straight, white, black, young and old. They all offered this simple message, "It gets better." Ellen DeGeneres, she even teared up on her own show when she was offering this message of hope. And even to the one who wrote about the audacity of hope, President Barack Obama offered the following words. The only thing you need to know is things will get better. And more than that, with time, you're going to see that your differences are a source of pride and a source of strength. You'll look back on the struggles you faced with compassion and wisdom. And that's not just going to serve you, but it will help you get involved and make this country a better place. Tell the righteous, it shall be well. To understand the context of this one verse, not only does one do well to see the chapter in which it is situated, but it takes some understanding of the prophet Isaiah. Most scholars divide the writings of Isaiah into three separate categories, simply as 1st Isaiah, 2nd Isaiah, and 3rd Isaiah. Scholars have come to this conclusion because of the changes in the writing style and the actual historical events that are said to have taken place that wouldn't have happened during the prophet Isaiah's lifetime. 1st Isaiah, in which this passage is written, was thought to be the actual original words of the 8th century prophet as the Assyrians were rising to power and beginning to move in to occupy the lands of Judah. Isaiah was speaking what thus saith the Lord, known as oracles, to the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. So it's here in the third chapter. Isaiah is given all this bad news. It says, for now the sovereign, the Lord of hosts, is taking away from Jerusalem and from Judah support and staff, all support of bread, all support of water, the warrior, the soldier, the judge, the prophet, the diviner, the elder, the captain of 50, the dignitary, the counselor, the magician. And I will make boys their princes, and babies shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by a neighbor. The youth will be insolent to the elder, the base to the honorable. Someone will even seize a relative, a member of the clan, saying, "You have a cloak. You shall be our leader, and this heap of ruins shall be under your rule." But the other will cry out on that day, saying, "I will not be a healer in my house. There's neither bread nor cloak. You shall not make me the leader of the people. For Jerusalem has stumbled. Judah has fallen, because their speech and their deeds are against the Lord, defying God's glorious presence." Now, if you go back to chapter 2, you'll see that this chapter 3 is really a continuation of what Isaiah was saying concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Starts out with a future glimpse of what the Lord God, the Most High, the Lord of hosts, the Supreme, that singular deity, that Holy of Holies, Elohim, says, "Elohim will preserve this holy city of David and shall judge between the nations, shall arbitrate for the many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall study war no more. Tell the righteous, it shall be well." As Isaiah muddles through the ills of the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem, pronouncing judgment on the wicked, as Isaiah is chastising the people for going against the social order of the day, as he's declaring that anarchy awaits at the doorstep, ready to enter the house of Judah and the city of Zion, as all of this is going on, Isaiah utters these words are pinned down on the scrolls of antiquity, traveling some 3,000 years to our eyes and to our ears, simply saying, "Tell the righteous, it shall be well, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds." If I can be transparent, sometimes us as preachers, sometimes we don't feel like preaching all the time. I put on my pants one leg at a time, just like everybody else does. That means I'm human. I'm subject to human frailties and human shortcomings. So the question ringing in my mind as I'm shouting out to the heavens is, "God, how can I tell the people it gets better when I need it to get better in my own life?" It's hard to get up preaching to offer a word, some good news, when you're living through your own personal hell. It's that moment when cliches don't quite work. I don't always want to hear, "I'm too blessed to be stressed," when the stress is etched on my face like a carving in a marbled wall. But there comes a moment when life can no longer be lived on the fringes, and the person is merely a passerby in your own life. Now, I have students that come in my office at work. They're ready to talk, and I hear them give a list of reasons why this, that, the third, and the other, and why this didn't work out for them. And therefore, as a result, they're just going to do this by default. And I've told them, you're operating by default. Life shouldn't happen to you, but you should happen to your own life. As I said last time I was here, rather than waiting for the second coming of Jesus, that's just operating and living life by default, we need to become active participants in the divinity that is already here with us. You control your own life. Nobody else can live it for you. Now, forgive me if I'm breaking protocol a bit, but we've always been told that we are told to be selfless and to be good stewards and servants to the people around us. Yes, I do fundamentally agree with that. But at times, you must take your own needs, not your wants. You must take your own needs into consideration. For whom are you living your life for? Are you living life for your parents? And let me put an asterisk there. For any teenager or grown person that's living at home with your parents, it is their house, their rules, and if you don't like it, move out. But if you are living life for some grand reason that isn't what you really want to do, who are you really trying to please? Are you trying to please somebody else? Are you trying to please yourself? Are you trying to please God? Tell the righteous, It shall be well. So as I struggled with this sermon, I really thought this sermon title was self-explanatory, that I could just have walked in, put on my Pentecostal hat, tell you to find three people and tell them it gets better. It gets better, and do that for about 15 minutes and then sit down. But as I kept reading the words of Isaiah, I tried to see just exactly where do I see myself in the text. Am I the one who considers myself righteous, looking for the words of encouragement just to run on a little bit longer? Or am I really the one hearing the charge from Isaiah telling me to tell the righteous, it shall be well, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds? I think I identify with the latter. So I just stopped by today to say, it gets better. And if I can put a new spin on the words of Isaiah, I would say, tell the righteous, it gets better. For they shall eat the fruit of their deeds when it gets better. I would be foolish and a fraud if I called one of you up here, told you to run around the church three times and tell you to call on the name of Jesus seven times, and you'll receive a check in the mail in 72 hours. That is to say, I really don't possess the spiritual gift to go up and down the aisles and know what each and one of you all are dealing with and what areas in your life are really going to get better. But much like Isaiah in the 8th century speaking to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, I do feel that I am called here in the 21st century to speak to the people of this country and the city of New Orleans. And I'm on assignment to tell the righteous that it shall be well, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. So if I can hang out here homiletically, put a quarter in the meter and park and cut across the field and bid you good afternoon, I have to get to the challenging part of this scripture. As we begin to actively participate in the divine that already dwells among us on earth, we must be active participants in seeing that it gets better. To simplify it, if you're in a classroom about to take a test, and the textbook or the novel that you've been assigned is still making the creaking noise when you open it up because you've never opened it up before, don't expect God to suddenly pour all of this better knowledge into your head. On the flip side, when you study, you pass the test. And guess what? It's gotten better. So as individuals, we must take personal agency for what we do and what we don't do with our lives. Moreover, as a community, we have to ask the tough questions about our own actions and what is resulting from them. Are we doing the same old thing we did 30 years ago and expecting something different? Things won't get better if you always do what you've always done. Now, the Hebrew word for well, this word, tell the righteous it shall be well, is tob. And it actually also means beautiful in Hebrew. So in the Hebrew Bible, this adjective of tob, of well, has been used in describing what is beautiful and what is well to the sight. Remember the description of David as handsome and ruddy. It is also used to describe taste, such as the mention of good wine in Proverbs and the sweetness of figs and honey in Judges and Jeremiah. This adjective of tob, of well, is also used to describe the smells of the mellifluous fragrance of the ointment conjured up in the poetry of the Song of Songs. So according to the Hebrew Bible, I just see that when it gets better, it's going to look better, it's going to taste better, and it's even going to smell better. Maybe that's why Paul, quoting from 3rd Isaiah, could say, but it has written, eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love the Lord. Tell the righteous, it shall be well. Now, you see, shall is an auxiliary verb. It is used to show modality, that is to show likelihood, ability, permission, and obligation. So in linguistics, it is specifically known as deontic modality. That shows the speaker is under deontic logic, and the speaker is required and obligated to fulfill what they are saying and to bring to fruition what was being said. So when Isaiah says, tell the righteous, it shall be well, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. Deontic logic and linguistic rules has now shown that the likelihood of God, the ability of God, and now that the obligation of God to fulfill the promise that it shall be well and the righteous shall eat the fruit of their deeds. However, in this life, I have discovered that sometimes, every once and every now and again, you need to act as though things are, even if they're not. Don't worry, that's good theology. God told Abraham that he would make him the father of many nations, but his wife was past childbearing years, and they had to do something that nature would otherwise say was pointless and just going through the motions. Don't worry, you'll catch that on the ride going home. That's acting as though things are, even when they're not. The Israelites marched around Jericho, acting as though it was theirs, but they didn't possess it. Acting as though things are, even when they're not. David thinking he had the ability to knock down a 9-foot-tall man with 5 smooth stones. That's good theology. Acting as though things are, even when they're not. Sometimes you need to just get up in the morning and tell yourself it's already looking better. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Sometimes you need to tell yourself it's already smelling better. It's already tasting better. That's when Isaiah says that it shall be well. That's a state of being. But the funny thing about my God is that sometimes after you've cried yourself to sleep, after your knees have been bruised from praying all the time at your bedside, after you've shouted your last lament to God, ever wondering if the prayer got past the ceiling and beyond the 4 walls of your room, I dare you to wake up in the morning. Tell yourself it's already looking better. I dare you when you're brushing your teeth to say, it's already looking better. When you're putting on your clothes in the morning, I dare you to say, it's already looking better. I dare you when you get to work and have to deal with those demons and demonicas and those other devils from hell that seem to be sent on assignment just to mess with you. I dare you to tell them, it's already looking better. And after a while, you'll realize it's already getting better. Just ask the slaves who came over from Africa to these unfamiliar shores. They sang the song, "Oh, freedom over me." And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave. Ask the fearless women, men, and children who marched in Montgomery, Selma, and Birmingham. Those nameless people who participated in the Freedom Summer of 1964. They would tell you that being well is a state of mind, even if your body is in bondage. That there's a place deep down in your soul. That no jailer, no bully, no parent, no shift manager, no boss, no teacher, nobody can get to but you and God. And that's the place that changes what Isaiah said from a prophecy into a proclamation. Isaiah prophesied, "Tell the righteous, it gets better. Tell the righteous, it shall be well." But I just want to know, is there anybody up in here on this Sunday morning who can reach down to the depths of their soul and declare on today, like the songwriter said, "It is well with my soul. Regardless of what's going on, it's already better." Is there anybody here who can testify that it does get better? Some people that have been through some things. You already know what better looks like. If you already know what better looks like, I dare you to be a living testimony to those who are still waiting for better to happen. God's grace is still sufficient, that even in the good times, it is well. Even in the bad times, it is well. When peace like a river attendeth my way, that's the good times. When sorrow like sea billows roll, that's when you've got more month left than you've got money. That's when all hell has broken loose at your job and at your home. That whatever my lot, that's saying regardless of my circumstances, regardless of how much money is in the bank, regardless of all of the stuff that I'm dealing with that doesn't make sense, whatever my lot, thou hast caused me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. I'm so glad that I know a God that gives me this blessed assurance that it does get better. That reminds me of a story. As I go to my seat, the writer of 3rd Isaiah identified a man who fits this profile of it gets better. The writer of 3rd Isaiah, around about the 53rd chapter, simply said, "For he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." John, this same man, was betrayed by his closest friends, but somehow he believed it gets better. This same man was convicted of crimes that he did not commit, but somehow he believed that it gets better. The same man had a crown of thorns placed on his head, had nails pierced through his hands, hung on an old rugged cross, but somehow he said to himself, it gets better. They pierced him in the side, but he thought it gets better. They spit on him and mocked him, but he said, not my will, but yours be done, because God, it gets better. Round about the third hour on a Friday, he hung his head and then he died. And the folks around said, there's no way it can get better, because things just got worse than before. All day Friday, it didn't get better. All day Saturday, it didn't get it. Didn't get better, but sometime on Sunday morning, I really don't know what time, but early on Sunday morning, somehow things got better. Do you know who I'm talking about? If Jesus could endure the death and the burial just to experience a resurrection and new life, and life that more abundantly, then that's good enough news for me to tell the righteous, it's already looking better. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's already looking better. It's already looking better. I see you in your future, and you look even better than you do right now. Amen and amen.